Should divorce rules be changed? 68-year-old Tina Owens, who wants to divorce her husband on the ground she is unhappy, has lost her Supreme Court appeal yesterday, meaning she must remain married until 2020. The couple have been married for 40 years, while Tina wants to split. Her husband, Hugh, has refused. Under the current law, unless people can prove their marriage has broken down due to adultery, unreasonable behaviour or desertion, the only way to obtain a divorce without a spouse's consent is to live apart for 5 years. Should that be changed? Lata Sharma is with us this morning. Good morning to you, the commentator.
Good morning.
Good morning. The Reverend David McElveen. Well, David, I guess when people get married, they make vows to each other that it's for life.
Yes, and personally, I was initially pleased with the court's verdict, but I am uncomfortable with the judge's directive that the law on divorce should be changed to accommodate such things as mood swings or derogative comments. In a relatively short period of time, the law has moved away from what I believe is the biblical principle that adultery is the only ground for divorce to a much more liberal view on the subject of marriage. And regrettably, this has led to emotional, social, and psychological complexities that, from a human perspective, are very difficult to, if not impossible, to resolve.
Is it not emotional and psychological torture to be still wed to someone who you don't want to be?
I fully accept that there is no profit whatever, humanly speaking, from a loveless marriage. But let me just make the point that I think there's another dimension that must not be ignored, and that is a person's mood. It may be defined by a silent illness that unfortunately incrementally changes an individual's personality. And at such a time, and we know this from personal experience, and you know it from your interviews, that husbands become a wife's cur and vice versa. And that is something that does change in life. And whenever we do conduct marriage services, we do make it very clear that part of the vow is that it is for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, honour and cherish till death us do part. And that brings a great responsibility to all of us in society to give encouragement and to give support to those people going through difficult times in their marriages.
Lada?
I think what the Reverend has said here is actually a very valid point. About as we go through different stages of our marriage, we are there for each other for different reasons. And I fully accept that that is a very valid point. But I think the time we're living in now, we have to accept that times have changed and that marriage has, the understanding of marriage has changed. It hasn't changed necessarily in the way that is down the biblical route or any religious route, actually, coming from a different religion myself. But I think 40 years of marriage, a woman should really have the right, or a man should have the right to say, I do not want to be with this person anymore. I can't take it anymore. And I think the fact that husband has decided that he is not prepared to grant her that is more out of spite. And that really doesn't that's where I suppose the Reverend's argument falls down, because once spite comes into the relationship...
Well, you don't know it's spite, of course. You don't know that it's not a man trying to save the marriage.
Well, I don't think it is, because according to what we've read, she lives across the road. She doesn't live with him, and she has been unhappy in the marriage for quite a considerable length of time. I think she's given it a good go, and I think she's done what the Reverend would have wanted her to do, which is to give it a good go and try and resolve these issues. But I think it's time to accept that this woman, after 40 years of commitment, has decided this is enough. Now,
David?
I understand she also had an affair at previous times, so really... is there a sense of spite going on here?
David?
And that is not a very biblical thing.
Well, I don't know that we can define that there is spite in this issue, but I think to liberalise the law to mood swings or derogative comments, I fear will overload the judicial system, because all of us, no matter who we are, no matter how perfect we may define our marriage to be, we do have our mood swings, we do make comments we shouldn't make. There's no
Absolutely.
Marriage that's not without flaw. But we, the basis of our marriage is a love that is very special, and it is something, and I say this from, if I might say, practical experience, that the longer you are married, the closer you come to your wife or to your husband. And that sense of reliability on each other is very, very important as you come to the end of your life. And I think
I do accept that. Reverend. I think that what you're saying is very true. I mean, from my personal experience of being married to my husband for 26 years, we went through difficulties, and after having children, you know, the arguments start and the pressure, and I understand all of that. And when you have family support to get you through those difficult times, I was very fortunate my family helped me get through difficult times. And I'm very grateful because we've got over a lot of hurdles. And we could have thrown the towel in so many times, but we managed to get over it. And as long as one of us was willing to try and keep keep us both on the track, it worked out.
You have to both be willing, though, don't you?
I think we have to accept that sometimes it is, you cannot expect everyone to be able to do that, because for numerous reasons, and yes, you're right about, you know, our moods change and our personalities change, but I think you have to be compassionate enough to accept that not everybody can get there. And we have to be compassionate to people in those situations and understand that the law is there to protect people in a number of ways. And compassion is also one of those reasons as well. We have to be more compassionate to some couples who just aren't going to make it.
But I think, in fairness, in this case, the man was showing tremendous compassion when he knew that his wife had another affair. I think that does, to me, highlight the problem that we're facing, that if we're going to trivialise the bond of marriage into the category of mood swings and so on, we're going down a very, very dangerous road. And I think we need to be strong enough to face up to the challenges that we all face in married life. And of course, from our perspective, it is a faith that is very strong and a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that is very special.
Okay.
With respect, I think the marriage and the religion that I come from too expects that same kind of standard of commitment. I think what we have to do is try and look through our religious reasons as to why we commit to our marriage. And we also have to be aware that not everybody is going to make it. And we need to be able to be compassionate to those who have really struggled and really tried and said, okay, this is now not working. We need to give them an avenue where they can separate amicably and things can be resolved in a more sort of compassionate way.
Listen, thank you very much, David. Always nice to talk to you. A lot of thank yous.